Live from the landing strip in Houston, Texas, it's the 428th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you're joining us live and in Technicolor on the YouTubes, great. Log in right now. That way you could live chat with us in the little handy-dandy live chat thingy right here. I'll see what your comments are. I will read them throughout the show, and I will try to involve you as best as I can in the show.
Might come with a little bit of ridicule.
Maybe. Just a scotch. A pinch.
A titch.
A titch. Yes. So feel free to say hi. Fact check. Ask us questions. Talk shit. Whatever. Now. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can certainly interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio. Hot dog.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Did anything happen while we were gone?
Hold my head up high. It's been a while since I last saw you.
Let's get the...
Okay.
Let's get the obvious out of the way.
The obvious?
Yeah.
What's the obvious? Starburst. What? All the red ones. Red, pink, redder.
Yeah.
Good choice today, sir.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the scariest tree in the forest?
What?
What is the scariest tree in the forest?
I don't even know how to answer that. What is the scariest tree?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The tree, yeah. that's spooky.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The answer is bamboo. 440 episodes. Did you ever fear for your life recording this podcast?
Right now.
Right now. So is this the last episode I'm on?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been a good run.
This is the last episode this chair is on.
I got three more.
Your chair is now brown.
Smells like Jack in a Box. Doesn't matter whether he said he quit or right. Somebody else said he's fired. CM Punk is officially gone from AEW.
All right.
First impressions when the news broke. Did you read the news on the internet or did you find out live on Collision?
Internet.
What was your first reaction? CM Punk died.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking really hard about this because...
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Since I first saw you.
I also got a Starburst in my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had a first thought or a first reaction. More like... Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's real. It happened. He's gone. You know. I think it was deserved. I see a lot of people, or I saw a lot of people, saying that, oh, okay, you fire Punk, but you don't fire Hangman. Oh, you fire Punk, but you don't fire Perry. You fire Punk, but you don't fire the Bucks. Here's the difference. The difference is Hangman, the Bucks, Perry, that was all one incident. Punk has now been involved with at least two that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
So
polarizing.
In those incidences, what is the common denominator? The common factor was CM Punk. Was I a CM Punk fan? Yes. I liked his wrestling. I loved his attitude. I loved the story, how he acted.
Straight edge like skills. You.
I mean, I wouldn't say he was straight edge like me. I was straight edge like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. There was a lot of the original Summer of Punk back in 2011 that really shaped who I was as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I ever will look back on that with malice in my heart, you know? That being said, it makes me think that everybody was kind of right about Punk. Maybe Punk really was just that ginormous asshole. And he wasn't anti-establishment, and it was cool. He was anti-establishment, and he was just a dick. And, okay, maybe back in 2011, it was cool when it was harnessed and it was used towards, you know, bettering wrestling storylines and helping get actual wrestlers over instead of, like, the stale-ass John Cena. And, like, I just knew something in wrestling that was, like, relevant and cool, and, you know, but he tried to still be that, for lack of a pun not intended, he still tried to be a fucking punk, you know? And it bit him in the ass when he was advertised as though he wasn't just some fucking punk kid. Now he's like a locker room leader. But he's still trying to act like an asshole. Still trying to act sanctimonious. Still trying to act like he's the smartest guy in the room when he's probably not. You know? And it's like, I think there's life lessons there to be learned, not only on the behalf of Punk, but on behalf of guys like me and you that really liked him, but wanted to put aside the things that the people that knew better said and say, oh, they're just the authority and they don't know. They don't get it, man. They don't, you know. And it's like, no, he's just a dick. You know, so it's really, I think it was deserved. I think it was deserved. And it sucks that we got past Michael Jordan on the Wizards with Punk here with this run. Like, it was, if Michael Jordan were to come out of retirement right now and go play for the fucking Suns or something, you know, like, it was like, it would be a really good nostalgia run, nostalgia pop. But man, I can't go and say, man, any one of these matches that he did was fucking phenomenal because of Punk. Yeah, we had a lot of nice things to say about Punk versus MJF in the dog collar match. But I don't know if that was just Punk. Mm-hmm. So if you look at just the actual wrestling itself, man, there was a lot left to be desired. He wasn't who he was in 2011, 2012, 2013, 2015, 14. You know, he wasn't who he was then. 2023, 2022 Punk was a little disappointing in the ring. So I don't feel like I'm losing a whole lot. If anything, I feel like a lot of stuff was exposed about who he was. And, yeah, he probably should be gone. I probably don't want to see him anymore. He's not Jordan on the Wizards.
Wow.
He's
you're a guy that for years after he left WWE, you wanted to see him back. And now that he's gone from AEW, you've already have the acceptance in yourself that it's you don't want to do it
anymore. All right, yeah, you bring that up. I wanted to see Punk in 2016, 2017, 2018. I kind of accepted in 2019, 2020, 2021, we're never going to see CM Punk. All these fucking marks that are just chanting CM Punk in arenas. They need to shut the fuck up and get over it. We're not going to see him ever again. He went to MMA. He embarrassed himself in MMA. He's not who he once was. Cool. And then when I finally lost all shreds of hope, hey, guess what? He is coming back. Motherfucker. Really? No, he's not. He's not really. Is he? Wait, he is? Fuck, he is. Oh, okay.
He's here.
Holy shit. Yeah, let's give it a shot. Let's see what it's like. And it was like, I never feel like we really got out of the starting gate with him, you know? He had matches and flashes of brilliance, and his promos were great. You know, his welcome back, high all around the world promos that he was cutting every week. It was cool, but I felt like we never got out of the blocks with that. We never got to where that big, impactful storyline where he's not just some babyface saying, I'm glad to be back, you know? We never got past that. And then once we started to kind of start getting past it, he just went full crazy-ass asshole. Hmm. And I'm like, over it. I'm sorry, I talked for a long time. It's your, you talk.
You're good. You're
you
good.
Talk.
To be clear.
Yeah.
A coin.
I'll eat Starbursts.
A coin has value. And it's equal value on each side. I have nothing to dissect on your end from Punk on a personal level. So let's flip the coin and talk about the business side of things. I didn't click to me until we dropped, until we had this little conversation in our message group on Messenger. And there was this thing that went out on the internet a couple of days ago where the Punks, where the Bucks said, you know what, if he doesn't commit any trouble for 6 months, then we'll think about burying the hatchet. And caught me a little bit off guard, and Hector's like, well, they're EVPs. They have the right to say that. And then Reblyle's like, well, it's easy to forget because they're wrestlers. But let's look at the adjective. Vice. At the end of the day, they don't sign paychecks. They don't have, it's not their money that's at stake. It's not their reputation that's in ultimate stake. It's Tony Khan's. So if Tony Khan is not setting the example of this is how it's supposed to be, if this isn't how you want it to be, you're more than welcome to go somewhere else. Let the Hangman stuff go. Didn't nip it in the bud. Young Buck stuff, obviously still hadn't been handled. And now the Jack Perry stuff. Mm-hmm. The moment Jack Perry said that smart-ass comment on the air, Tony Khan should have got up, walked up to CM Punk and say, keep your cool. I got it. You don't got to worry about it.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
No.
No. So when you're in an environment and it, you enter it boiling hot, you're going to feel it. If you enter an environment and over time it starts to boil, it's going to take a long time for you to notice until you start steaming, until you start getting burn marks. So CM Punk, I believe, handled it the wrong way, but I don't feel like in the moment he had didn't have many options left. Mm-hmm. You know, he had quit before he walked out to do that match with Samoa Joe. If you notice on the video in All In, when he's going like this, he's saying goodbye. Like you could read his lips say goodbye. He already kind of knew that he wasn't going back there. Whether he was waiting for a buyout or waiting to speak to lawyers or waiting to do a lawsuit, he already made up his mind that he wasn't going back.
Right.
So me being at the House of Blues for a Paris and Poppy concert and going online because I had ignored the internet most of the day and seeing, holy fuck, CM Punk got fired. One of my girlfriend's favorite wrestlers now. Showed her the phone. Then I'm watching live on Collision Tony Khan's explanation that he was scared for his life. People at work shouldn't feel that way. I agree with him. People at work shouldn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's rules. That's why there's boundaries. That's why there's limitations. That's why there's expectations. That when you're on the clock, you don't fuck around like Jack Perry did on the air. You don't fuck around like Hangman going live on the air. You don't fuck around like Omega's in the Omega the Young Bucks going back into CM Punk's locker room after a show when he's already injured and try to intimidate him by in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the environment he set. This diatribe I'm spitting in no way absolves Punk of any guilt.
Right.
He is just as guilty. But the sword of Damocles is Khan's the one holding it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, I just feel like I think CM Punk, my opinion, CM Punk had the impression that he would be the exception to the rule. As far as, man, we brought in Malenko, we brought in Jake Roberts, we brought in Arn Anderson, we brought in Ricky Steamboat. These fucking, we brought in JR, Shivani. These fucking kids aren't listening to us.
Yeah.
They think that they've made it this far on their own that they can just beat WWE doing what they're doing. See, Punk had made this comment in a I think it was a post-media scrum where I think it was about Hangman, the Brawl Out.
Yeah.
Where he's like, man, you got fucking Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Jeff Bagwell coming in, and you're going to tell me you're not going to try to practice your swing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think CM Punk thought he could be the one guy. And to a point, he is. Because you see the people that were on Collision when Punk was running Collision. And you could see that presentation was more like the line in the sand between the presentation and polish of WWE and the alternative that is AEW. I feel like Collision was that line in the middle that sprinkled both of them together, brewed it, gave it a little bit of that Powerpuff Girl love, and that's what it happened. But ultimately, he just became a victim. Mm-hmm. Not so much a victim, but his surroundings closed in on him, and he was getting boxed in, and I feel that's him breaking out. And in essence, I don't think he's going back in. At least I don't think so. I was the one with the group with you and Arnold where I was like, look, I've already made my peace. Punk's not coming back. He's not coming back. We went to wrestling shows together. I went to wrestling shows with my nephew. I went to wrestling shows alone. I was not one of those guys chanting CM Punk at everything I thought was boring or everything that I didn't like about wrestling. You know, I was fine with it. Punk coming back. You say he never got off the blocks. I agree to an extent. I feel like Collision was the beginning of a cementing of Punk's legacy in against WWE. Like, okay. Collision was his baby, just like SmackDown in after the Attitude Era was the A show because they had the six. You know,
mm-hmm. it was the Rock show.
Yeah, was Punk's show, and yeah. It was holding its audience consistently. And albeit growing some ratings towards the end of the episodes, as opposed to AEW, where everybody watches the beginning and then by the end, it just sinks like a rock. You know, I felt like another 2 years of this would have been the SmackDown to Dynamite draw as far as an actual competition where people are wanting to watch AEW. You saw. I drove to Chicago for the opening show to see the first thing to see, to see CM Punk in the ring, to see what the fuck are we going to get post injury. What's the first thing he's going to say? And then the promos every week. And then FTR rubs off on him. Ricky Starks is rubbing off on him. His stuff with Bullet Club Gold was fun. Mm-hmm. The Owen Hart stuff. And then now the stuff with Samoa Joe towards the end. I'm like, dude, I'm getting inklings of Shawn Michaels 2003, right. 2004. Yep. It's like, all right, yep. Here we go. This was what the stuff that you were missing in the first year and a half when Punk came back. I felt like we were starting to get traction in the last 6 months.
2 months.
3 months.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 months. And all that got pulled out under the rug.
Yeah.
So, because one person couldn't handle it democratically, another person had to handle it radically. Mm-hmm. And that's what we ended up with. And with that, Punk's gone.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. It sucks. You know, I don't think two wrongs make a right. I'm not going to sit here and absolve Jack Perry, right? Jack Perry is suspended. Good. He needs to be suspended. He's the one who fucking instigated all this bullshit over stupid shit. He just wanted to use real glass? Boy, don't use real glass. You don't have to.
For free on a pre-show. Make people right. Pay for that shit.
Right. So I actually agree with the subject matter of the conflict between Punk and Jack Perry. I agree with Punk.
Yeah.
You don't need to fucking use glass, dude. Not real glass. It's fine. You don't have to. It's okay. Use your fucking sugar glass. It's fine. Right? Mm-hmm. But he just wanted to have a stick up his ass. So I don't... I'm glad Jack Perry is still on punishment. I do think he should come back at some point. Right? Give him another chance. There's a lot of potential with him. You got the Hollywood connection there with, you know, there's still a lot of meat on that bone that you could eventually use. But he's got to learn his fucking lesson. Right? So, yeah. Leave him on punishment. So, I'm not absolving Jack Perry. Right? The problem came in with how Punk handled it as a locker room leader like he wanted to be. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. He was just another, again,
old codger.
Pun not intended. He was just some punk. Mm-hmm. Another fucking punk that tried to, you know, just punk rock his way into authority in a more corporate setting. Mm-hmm. Right? And it didn't really fucking work, you know? So it just... No, I don't like it. What's up, Dougie? What's up, Hector? What we're seeing here in the live chat. Hector says, Hangman stuff was let go by Hangman. Apparently, they talked it over but then Punk decided to make those comments after the show, and it was unnecessary. All right? When it comes to Collision, you could say that Collision was the roster that worked in WWE and the people that are looking to transition into WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hector also says, going back to CM Punk Elite, the Bucks part, you could say that it was handled by lawyers, hence Collision. Punk really didn't have an issue with Omega, and they were working to do business. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Dougie says, Jungle Turd needs to be fired as well. Okay, you know what? I know what I just said right now about, I'm glad that he's on punishment, but I don't think he needs to be fired, because again, the reason why I think it was okay for Punk to get fired was because this is Hangman stuff with the Scrum, the brawl out with the EVPs and Omega, and now this was strike three for him, in my mind. This is strike three. Jungle Boys stuff, this is strike one. Should he have a lengthy suspension? Yeah. Maybe, dock his pay, suspension without pay? Yeah. But I don't say, hey, he needs to go away, he should be fired, because not for his sake, because, oh, I take pity and empathy on Jungle Boy. No, it's because you got something there with this kid that you might be able to make some money off of.
If we're going to use the baseball analogy, because you're in your Astros threads.
Yes.
Punk got three strikes.
Yeah.
But that was just his first at bat. You can give him 6 months, 3 months to cool off. The assassination, the JFK, was when he went after Tony Khan. Tony Khan's video on Collision validates the reports on the internet that after CM Punk and Jack Perry were broken apart, CM Punk lunged at Tony Khan, where the monitors landed near Tony's lap and almost grabbed Tony by the neck and told him he quits. He was fed up. That is why he got fired. If it was Tony Khan's decision, he let the Young Bucks stuff go. He let the fights go. He let the Hangman stuff go. And if this stuff with Jack Perry, if Punk would have just ran off after beating up Jack Perry or showing Jack Perry he can face lock him like a bam,
yeah,
that would have been. We'd probably still see CM Punk right now. Mm-hmm. The fact that he went after Tony Khan after all this out of frustration because Tony didn't do a damn thing, that's what got him fired.
All right.
For cause.
Okay.
That cause.
Okay.
It's one thing if the boys want to wrestle or settle their differences, that's one thing. When you threaten the boss, yeah, boss is gonna fire you. That's what did it. I don't think it's the Jack Perry stuff. It's the Tony Khan stuff
that did it. Now, I don't know how much I actually believe the Tony Khan stuff. I don't know how much I believe Tony Khan was in fear for his life.
If he's been watching wrestling shows for over 30 years and he's been sitting in front row for 30 years and there's action that happens outside the ring that happens in front of him, I bet he's pretty desensitized to it. So him watching two people fight in front of him, I don't think that would have scared him as much as one of those two fighters going at him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what probably scared him. That's why.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know where the truth actually lies.
Yeah.
Did Punk go after Tony Khan and try to reach for him and like get physical with him?
Video exists. It's out there. It's public record. If they want to show it, CM Punk or Tony Khan.
Wait, there's video of Punk attacking Khan?
There's video of the whole backstage incident.
I haven't seen any of this video.
It hasn't been released yet. Mm. But it exists. And upon request from the requesting the European government, they can release that footage. It just, no one's pulled the trigger yet. But it's out there.
I don't know. Why not?
Waiting for the lawsuit, maybe.
Okay.
But it's out there.
I didn't know that that stuff existed. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, even more so, because it is different for one wrestler to go after another wrestler, two trained fighters, athletes, to kind of, you know, grab it at each other and, you know, put each other in headlocks or whatever. It's different to do that with some skinny punk kid billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been a big defender of Tony Khan for a long time, so what I just said might sound a little derogatory, but I fucking love Tony Khan. He's like me and you, who just happen to have a whole bunch of money and just said, I'm going to blow it on, you know, a wrestling promotion, right? Mm-hmm. I as a ring announcer, who shares locker rooms with wrestlers, I don't want a wrestler putting hands on me. right? Mm-hmm. And, but I also am not sure where the truth is. Now, you say all this is true and the allegations of Punk went after Khan physically. Okay, cool. The picture that was painted in my mind was these two were roughing up each other up over here, and it happened to be next to some monitors where Tony Khan was, and the monitors fell and almost got Tony. And I was like, and then that's going to make you fade for your life? Come on, bro.
And then he turned around and yelled at Tony, he quits.
Now,
and tried grabbed him.
Now, the grabbing him part, if that's the case, okay, now it's making a little bit more sense to me. But then he just turned around and say, I quit, like, okay.
Yeah.
But if he went and lunged at him and tried to grab at him or whatever, all right, yeah, cool. Then that's what it is. Yeah, even more so, I think he should go then. Yeah, because you don't need to do that with non-wrestlers.
Yeah.
As much as Tony Khan is a wrestling guy, and I
respect... And a character on television.
And I respect him for it, and I respect that he's someone like us who actually did the damn thing, mm-hmm. as much as he is, he's not a wrestler, and he should not be put into situations where he can get his get hands put on him, you know.
Oh, now we have Danielson era of Collision. Did you happen to watch last week's Collision?
No.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. I've had a busy couple of weeks. Okay. Between preparing for my birthday and Portia's birthday just passing, and we were doing birthday stuff for her and all that, I've been busy.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So we'll skip through. We'll come back to that in the next couple episodes.
No, it sounds like you had something to say, though.
No. I just... Well, ultimately, I think we're in good hands with Brian Danielson's era of Collision. Almost, not step for step, but in the same direction as where CM Punk was going with Collision as far as an alternative to Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Curious to see where the next couple of weeks go.
All right.
It's still appointment viewing for me, mm-hmm. for now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how long that lasts.
All right, I do need to stop
eating.
Well, that too. These Starbursts are so delicious. We are not sponsored by Starbursts, by the way.
No.
I just like them that much.
Yeah.
The reason why I got to stop here is because I thought you were going to fill in some blanks for me.
No.
But you're just not going to?
No.
Oh, okay.
Been busy a couple of weeks for me, too.
All right. Well, okay, I just want to pose the question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to answer it, cool. If you still don't want to answer it, that's fine. But at least that we know for next time, here's my question. Why is this the Danielson era of Collision? Okay. Like did Punk have the book for Collision, and so, now that Punk's gone, they're handing the book to Danielson? Like, that doesn't seem to make sense for me.
Part of the news that's been hitting the internet, on the dirt sheets, is that CM Punk had a second contract as a director, I would say, or booker of the show, of Collision.
He did?
Yeah.
This is a fact?
Alleged.
Okay.
It would make sense because it was a different presentation from Dynamite. It wasn't. Right. It didn't feel like something that Tony Khan was driving with. Ballsy for Tony Khan to fire Punk the weekend of All Out in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm in between bands. I'm watching the first 10 or 15 minutes of Collision.
Which concert were you at again?
Poppy. And Paris.
Who's Paris?
I can't really explain the genre.
Okay.
But it's very quite good.
Okay.
One of my favorite performances of the year. And I saw Metallica twice. Three times
really?
This year. And Paris did very good.
Really?
I'm thinking, wow. They're in Chicago. Tony Khan just got on the air and announced Punk is fired. There's video on the internet about Tony Khan in the audience before the show went on air to tell the audience that he fired CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Ballsy. So I'm like, all right, you lost CM Punk. What in the flying fuck are you going to try to do to bring it back?
Yeah.
First segment, Ricky Starks, challenging the dragon to a strap match. Out comes Steamboat, and I was like, well, I'm not the only dragon here.
Yeah.
And out came Bryan Danielson.
Right.
So that's the place warmer. We lost Punk, or Punk walked, depending on who you ask.
Right.
We need to fill that void with somebody.
Yeah.
And it's Bryan Danielson.
Right.
And then last Saturday on Collision, after the match at All Out, the strap match, Bryan Danielson came out and said that his time's winding down. He's got one full year left. So he's calling his own shots. Challenged Zack Sabre Jr. for Wrestle Dream in Seattle.
All right.
And then finished the promo because Ricky Starks interrupted him. And Danielson's like, look, you're telling me that you're this and that. You're telling me the future. And you know what? I'm in. I said it before on this ring. If you want to be with us, you got to bleed with us. And after that strap match, he had a shirt in his hand.
All right.
He's going to offer it to Starks. Big Bill knocks him out. Starks stops Bill. And then Starks starts beating up on Bryan Danielson.
Nice.
So in essence, Moxley came out to help to save Bryan Danielson. In essence, all that brouhaha that happened turned Blackpool Combat Club face.
No!
Yeah.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, so we're... Yeah. And then last Wednesday, Dynamite, last night, they're in Cincinnati, Moxley's hometown. You gonna boot Moxley in his hometown?
No, well, you're gonna treat Moxley.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, of course you could, but they don't. Fucking Ohioans. And so I'm writing it. I'm gonna go with it and see where we go from here. But
right.
It feels like two episodes in, that's the Bryan Danielson show now. You know, he had history with SmackDown,
yeah.
General manager. He was also doing booking on the side backstage. Knows how to produce a show, and two episodes so far, the consistency is still there.
Okay.
From the show that Punk started with. Mm-hmm. Couple months, so it's still appointment viewing for me. It's still on par, if not better than Dynamite. It's on par, if not better than SmackDown. Raw still too fucking long. NXT still has Booker T on commentary. New Japan's show is still not consistent enough. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm intrigued. I'm curious.
Okay.
Let's see. Any thoughts on the merger? We're officially in the...
Hold on. Before we jump to that.
Okay.
Question, Hector. Question. With Punk gone, does it still interest you in going to the Rosenberg show?
The Rosenberg show is a Dynamite show. It's not a Collision. So Punk wasn't going to be there anyway. We got the tickets because I had such a fucking blast with y'all in Austin for NXT. I wanted to run it back.
Yeah. I agree.
We had the message. I was like, yo, I already bought tickets. You're like, motherfucker, I wanted to go. I was like, dude, I've got four. We're going to run it back.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
I still owe you $30.
Breaking news. Your ticket's my birthday gift to you. You'll not sweat it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Woo! Felicidades, hermano.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that had no bearing on CM Punk whatsoever.
Yeah.
What did have bearing was me being the road dog that I've been for wrestling shows. As you can see, all the posters that are around me and the others that I got locked up. If Dynamite was going to be in Rosenberg,
I need to change out these posters.
Yeah. If Dynamite was going to be in Rosenberg, I was expecting fucking Collision to be at San Antonio, Austin, Dallas.
Something, yeah.
Corpus, something. I would have done it. Like, I would have packed y'all up in the car and taken Aaron with me because CM Punk would have been there. And,
where is it?
Memphis.
What?
I think.
So they're going to Rosenberg
for Dynamite. Again, they're still doing the soft draft, apparently, because the people on Rampage weren't on Dynamite.
Okay.
For the most part. The Rosenberg show had no bearings on anything. I just... Oh, Houston show? Wrestling show? It's in the top three of the shows I like.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going.
Yeah.
Cheap seats.
Yeah.
Good seats. Row number one. Yeah, we're good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I would agree. Despite the fact that I haven't been watching a whole lot this week, despite that fact, I'm still very interested in AEW.
Yeah.
I did make a point to watch All Out while you were not watching All Out.
In the moment.
Right.
I saw some.
Yeah.
Build it up.
There was some stuff on there that, you know, was surprisingly pretty good. There were some matches that I really liked. And you know what? I got that feeling of, son of a bitch, they pulled it off. They actually had a good pay-per-view when nobody wanted to shell out another $50 after spending $50 a week before. And
not selling out the United Center two nights in a row.
Yeah, and all the fucking controversy with Punk. It felt like this pay-per-view was overshadowed and it wasn't going to be good. But then it wound up being pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. What I did see at All Out, I enjoyed.
So, yeah. We'll get into the detail in a second.
Yes, we'll do that. But do you want to move on now to...
We can.
To TKO?
Sure.
Okay.
You care?
I'll tell you how much I cared. I was checking frequently my Robinhood account that day to see what my stock price in WWE stock was actually going to do. It went up a little. Not a lot. It switched from WWE to TKO, and then it had a little bump. And I'm like, cool. Made a couple of bucks. But I'm not cashing out, not pulling it out. I hope it doesn't have a nosedive anytime soon. Yeah. But hey, I just went, boop, boop. Okay, cool. Hopefully it stays like that. So that's really all I really care about right now. I saw a lot of people online.
Evaluation of $4 billion for WWE alone, right?
Cool.
Or $9 billion for both together. I forget what it was.
Whatever it is. Cool. Good job for the billionaires. Yay.
Yeah, but, Vince McMahon started with $1 million and ended up with $4,000 million.
Good, yay, yay, good for you, you fucker. But what I care about, I don't know if I need to be nervous about yet. So,
Triple H is still a charge of creative and booking. So
exactly. So it's like
I'm not losing a lot of sleep.
Is everything you know, business as usual, and just the what it says at the top of the paycheck, just a different name, yeah. Right? Is Triple H and Vince McMahon still going to be running the place like normal, and we're not really going to see a change in consistency on the product on the telly, or? Is WWE going to become like UFC, and is UFC going to become more like WWE? You know, are there going to be...
The parallels have been there for years already.
Well, I know there's parallels, but there's still a lot... There's still a big...
Divide in fans.
Chasm in the fans, but also a chasm in how everything is presented. Yeah. Right? One is about spectacle and pageantry and the story, and the other one is all about just the competition.
Yeah. No, right? No smoke and mirrors, no fancy entrance, no 19... feet long LED screens. Just
Scott, what's up, Scott?
What up, man?
Scott says the only reason he wants to go is because of us.
That's right.
Oh, Scotty, you're so cute.
I will say this. Some people would see it as a good thing. Me as a wrestling fan, I can smell the synergy a mile away. They've been doing it for months. Actually, for about a year at least. And nothing smacked more of synergy than Becky Lynch beating Tiffany Stratton for the NXT Women's World Heavyweight Championship on NXT last Tuesday.
Why do you say this smacks of synergy?
Because they're trying to get the ratings up on NXT. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Raw making 1.6, 1.8 million. And the same, if you have three different products and all products have your logo on it, you expect all three of them to succeed equally. And when one is succeeding a lot, one is succeeding somewhat, and one is trying to keep its head above water... Yeah, I can see what they're trying to do. I've been watching NXT enough. We went to the show. We went to Stand and Deliver or Great American Bash. You know, then they had the TV special. There was nothing in storyline that was developed long enough for me to gain interest in a title match between Becky Lynch and Tiffany Stratton main eventing an episode of NXT television on USA on Tuesday night at 8:35. So I know what they're trying to do.
Okay.
And that's going to be an issue where if the focus is too much on the business side, that they forget about the consumer. If you protect the consumer, then you don't got to worry about business. Business will take care of itself. If you're telling the consumer stories don't matter because we just need the viewers, so we're going to just throw stuff together and hopefully you like it.
Yeah.
At the expense of, oh man, such and so was such a great talent. They were going so well. And then all of a sudden, what the fuck are they doing? How do we end up here?
Yeah.
Then it's going to hurt the product, devalue the product, lose value in the product. Well, that's the value. But it's not going to help. What you should be focusing on is protecting the consumer and delivering storylines regardless of who's on fucking commentary.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's where the disconnect for me was like, wait, Becky Lynch and Tiffany Stratton?
I mean, you weren't really batting an eye when Dominic showed up.
And won he'd been there for weeks.
Okay.
Plural. I think he was there at least a month and a half.
Okay.
I don't even think Becky was on an episode of NXT before she showed up for that title match. Tiffany was in the crowd for, I think, Payback? And maybe one episode of Raw? Like
yeah.
But where's the interaction? Where's the storyline? Where's the feud? Where's the, you should have been me, or I should have been you, but I'm, you know, there's nothing. There was no, I didn't see the interaction. Or there wasn't enough interaction. If it was serious, they would have posted it on their Facebook. That wasn't on there. At least I didn't. At least
I think I remember something like that happened. Didn't they? I think there was some tweef, or well, I guess now it's not Twitter, so it's X, it's Eex.
Zeef. X, like Xerox.
Oh, okay. Zeef. Yeah. So, Zeef. So there was some X beef, or Zeef, where Stratton was saying something about, oh, all the four horsewomen, when they were, you know, NXT women's champions, they were, you know, great, but not as great as me. And then somebody chimed in, oh, Becky was never NXT women's champion. Oh, sorry, Becky, I didn't know. And I think that's how the Zeef started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't do it for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't tickle your pickle?
Nope.
All right.
Nah. And my pickle is dill. The most evilest of pickles.
You want to get that checked out, man.
Sour.
I hate Papa.
Speaking of stuff that might not make sense.
Hector says McMahon is now the president of TKO, so that
completely
means he runs both WWE and UFC. So do you think maybe UFC is the, and UFC fans are the ones that should be worried about this more, that there might be more changes to UFC? Maybe we're going to have bigger entrances, bigger stages, more pyro for some of the fighters?
Here's the thing with that. Bellator already kind of has that. Not so much in a bigger environment because they can't sell out those bigger arenas. Uh-huh. But say like Ring of Honor or Impact level, they do have huge screens. They do have pyro. They do have a straight ramp that they walk to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... I, as a casual viewer... I do not think it'll do UFC any favors by bringing the pomp and circumstance that WWE has.
Yeah.
Because I don't think their
fans care about that much.
It isn't
either.
About the fans. You don't want casuals confusing the product.
Okay.
You don't want casuals saying, oh man, I hope Tito Ortiz fights John Cena in that square box thing. No. You have to differentiate one from the other. I think
John Cena and Tito Ortiz. God damn it.
I think you want to keep everything separate. I think UFC is fine the way it is. Maybe their issue is their pay structure. Upset a lot of their fighters, especially with the Reebok endorsement.
I'm aware of this.
And the fact that they couldn't go any outside endorsements because they're already tied to Reebok and they weren't really getting much of anything. I know some of it's old news that you might not even get any of it, which I'm...
Okay.
But... there are things on the business side of UFC that can be fixed, but I don't think it would do them any favors by having it look like WWE.
Mm, okay.
So
are you saying that maybe Rey Mysterio will get a different cereal besides Cinnamon Toast Crunch to sponsor him?
What I did read on the sheets is that the idea in WWE is. Bringing back like weight classes as far as the titles.
Okay.
And we had the cruiserweight title, so maybe we'll have a heavyweight title, or maybe we'll have a light heavyweight, or we'll have a phantom weight.
A Gorditos title.
For the women, we'll have the Nia Jax weight.
Right.
You know? Speaking of which, Mortal Kombat, Nia Jax is returning.
In Mortal Kombat?
No. It's Mortal Kombat because the girls are getting hurt.
Oh!
Again. My hole! Yeah.
Yeah.
Nia came back and apparently she already fucked up Raquel Rodriguez.
Really?
Or something. Yeah.
Jesus. Hector says, the only thing I want to see is Bruce Buffer be the announcer for main event matches of WrestleMania.
Correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. Isn't his dad still alive?
Bruce Buffer's dad?
Michael Buffer.
Maybe.
He had done a couple of WWE pay-per-views. One-offs.
Alright.
And a whole bunch of WCW. But. Rumors swirling about that Jade Cargill's leaving AEW.
Yeah. So, like I said, I haven't really watched much of AEW, but I did see the latest thing where Jade, like, came back and, you know, smacked around Statlander. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess she's coming back for her title. And then all the news and rumors is that, oh, Jade's leaving. What do you mean Jade's leaving? She just got here. What? Huh? What?
Again.
This doesn't make sense.
Another flaw. Jade, one of your most polarizing female athletes.
Yeah.
Statlander, crowd favorite.
Yeah.
Actually adding more value to the TBS title, not that Jade didn't. Jade did a great job.
I wouldn't say she's added value to the TBS title.
You don't?
No, I think she's devalued it a little.
Really?
Yeah. I love Statlander.
As do I.
But I don't think since she's been back and holding on to that title that they haven't really done anything with her. And they haven't put anything on her that's really elevated her.
Here's the problem. Jade comes back. Holy crap. You're going to give me Jade Cargill versus Crit Statlander in Grand Slam? Nah. We're going to put it on Rampage where only 250,000 people watch.
Yeah.
That we don't watch.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No. That's part of the problem. Again, back to the production stuff and the layouts of all these shows. You want Chris in front of the biggest audience. You know, that shit happened in front of the biggest audience.
Hector says Michael Buffer is Bruce Buffer's brother. Not dad.
No way. No fucking way. Well, I'll check it after the show. It's not that I don't believe you, but I don't believe you. Yeah. I understand. $500,000 an hour of programming for AEW on Turner Broadcasting, but fuck. Rampage. Who is watching Rampage? I'm gonna admit, I'm recording Rampage on my DVR. The only fucking shit I'm watching is that match and that match alone. That better be the last fucking match of the night.
Alright.
But that... Dude, give Jade a year in developmental in NXT. Not even in NXT. Just have her in developmental for a year and then just have her show up on the main roster. Yeah.
Hector says that Elias's contract ended with WWE.
I heard that today.
And Scott says the Grozzo Young veterans are gone too.
I heard that too. Nah, they don't sweat. I don't sweat that too much.
Okay.
They don't. Which one of us has said, oh shit, I can't wait to watch Raw for Elias? Or man, I'm gonna buy tickets to NSC for Schism.
Yeah, no.
Jade, are we trying to watch Jade?
Probably.
Yeah. 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 Are we looking forward to what costume she's wearing at the pay per view?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Jade's got a lot more.
Yeah.
Pickle tickle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter tingle.
Yeah. Match of the week candidates.
Okay.
Let's bust this nut already.
All right.
I told you we were gonna do this, Hector.
Yeah.
Before we got on the mic tonight.
Yes.
What did we watch?
We watched Ospreay versus Naito, the semifinals of the G1 Climax. Finally, we got around to watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about Wrestle Dream next month. I'm Wrestle Burnt right now. But I squeezed this in just for you, Hector.
Yeah.
I spit on it too, so it don't hurt.
I hurt a little bit, but it's fine.
1, 2, 3. Naito wins. What's your first reaction?
Ospreay should have won this match.
Goddamn.
I think I said it like 3 times while we were sitting there. Mm-hmm. You sure Ospreay's not winning this? Because you told me. I was like, hey, because you wanted to give me context of what was. This is the semifinals. You know, Naito went on for the finals. So that means, of course, Naito wins this one. And this is what's happening to set up this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I know who wins this. All right, fine. But whatever. It's our fault for not watching it, you know, weeks, maybe a month ago, whenever it actually happened. So, cool. I'm watching it. I'm like, goddamn. Ospreay just won. Wait, but Ospreay's not winning. But Ospreay just won. Wait, Ospreay just won again. Ospreay, and then you even said at one point, that should have been the end of the match.
Yeah.
And then, oh God, like a split second later, that should have been the... that's not the end of the match. Like, you were reacting.
We had like a dozen different O-faces.
Yeah.
I'm sure Randy and Aaron can and Porsche can validate.
Yeah. So,
bro.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a really good match. The way Naito won almost felt a little anticlimactic and a little deflating.
Can I tell you why?
Why?
There was hints were being dropped on commentary that Naito had to win this because if he doesn't win this G1, there might not be another one. And that's when I first started noticing, Naito looks old as fuck right now. And I guess he just came back from injury or something. He was slow. It was a little slow on the step. Towards the end, where he's trying to hit the ropes and he fell and collapsed because he couldn't finish the follow-through, whatever he was trying to do. The finish was anticlimactic for me because, sidebar, MJF versus Adam Cole did a good job of solidifying both of them were equals to right. The point that MJF had to beat him with a fucking roll-up to validate that this was Ken and Ryu just had to do the one smart thing instead of trying to hit him 9 times spamming his finisher on it.
Right, right, right.
So the fact that Naito didn't win with, like, the perfect for the story that they started with in commentary and what I was looking at through the match, the perfect finish would have been that counter from the Stormbreaker into the Hurricanrana that Rey Mysterio dropped the dime. Yeah. If he would have got a 1-2-3 and then Ospreay, like, fling his arm up after the 3 and been like, Naito just got you, bitch! That would have been, hands down, I would have been like, that's my match of the year, fuck Omega. That would have been it.
Yeah.
Regardless, this is a contender.
Yeah. Do we have a
Japan contender? Yeah, it's Ospreay and Omega from Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Not a shocker that Ospreay's in this match, too. We're going to end the show talking about Ospreay also, which is good for a laugh.
All right. Here is what...
I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about the two matches I've seen Ospreay in.
Here's what my theory was on that. The reason why I thought that it felt a little deflating. Yeah. I think it might be because I like Ospreay more than I like Naito, and maybe that's where I was getting lost on it.
This year, you've seen a lot more Ospreay matches than you have of Naito, so I can see where you're coming from.
And I mean, even going back a little bit more, I haven't been sold on Naito as much as other folks that come out of New Japan, right? Like, I like Ibushi more than I like Naito, right? I like... Zack Sabre. I like Ospreay. I like Switchblade. It's weird that I like all the white guys.
It's weird that you like all the English-speaking people that can cut a promo.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of Ospreay as an all-around talent until he cut that promo on Dynamite on Jericho. I haven't heard Naito speak that English thing to hook me.
But I like Shingo also more. Now, between like the big three that everybody always talked about, you know, Naito, Okada, and Tana, out of those three, I like Naito the best, but that's like...
He has charisma.
That's like saying that, oh, out of John Cena, Batista, and Randy Orton, I like Randy Orton the best. It's like, they're all like, for me. So, maybe that was my bias, and why I really wanted Ospreay to do it, because it felt like Ospreay was doing more, Ospreay looked better, Ospreay should have won this.
He definitely carried Naito through this.
And then he didn't. And the way he lost it was like, oh, they're just giving it to the guy that is more over with the Japanese crowd, I suppose. Because maybe there's more story, there's more heartstrings, whatever. But I really think the better wrestler was Ospreay.
And in the end, you're right.
Yeah.
Because if this does hold out till Wrestle Kingdom next year, it's the teacher trying to take the belt from his student.
Yeah,
we still got Sonata as the world champ, and that's who Naito's going to be wrestling.
Yeah.
And there has been backstory. We talked about this before. It was one of my picks for Match of the Year several years ago. And it was also during the G1 where Naito lost to Sonata. And that was just after Evil had turned on Naito. And Naito was worried that there was friction in between the two, that one was going to turn on the other because Evil had already done it. And the fact that they were able to do their pose together and walk out as mutual friends still, that was part of how that match ended up on one of our Match of the Year lists years ago. So there is history with them, and I can see why they're investing that on the bigger stage in the Tokyo Dome for their big show of the year. Damn, Ospreay looked fucking good in that
match. He did. It looked fucking great. There was some
stuff I hadn't seen. Naito's fucking little crucifix with his legs, and Ospreay doing like the worm to try to break the ropes.
Yeah,
there was another move that Naito did.
The thing onto the apron from the top rope, the neck breaker looking thing. God damn! And then he did it again from the apron to the floor.
Ospreay's kicks were on fucking point.
Oh, those crescent kicks around
the hook kicks.
The hook kicks.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. God damn. Both of them were
selling their asses off. And part of it was they're in fucking pain because they're beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
And my only crux is that it should have finished with that fucking counter of the Stormbreaker into a roll-up. Yeah. That the old man had to do something tricky instead of him trying to do what every Japanese wrestling fan in Japan expects him to do to win a match. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, man, I need a lot less false finishes and a lot more counters of shit. Mm-hmm. You know, if you find that right balance, it works. And I feel like there was a bit of an out of balance from countering stuff as opposed to just kicking out of shit. But some of the stuff Naito was doing where you're like, how did he do that? How the fuck did he, how is he still standing? Like, ah, kind of balances some of that out.
So Hector in the live chat says this, and this might have colored his perception a little bit more too. He said that Naito was knocked out in the latter part of that match.
I believe it.
Okay.
Cool. Now I want to rewatch it to see where.
Yeah. And you know what? That can add to the impressiveness of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, a real injury. Lord knows everybody was...
So it wasn't a sell. He legit fell because he wasn't all there.
Yeah.
That
you
makes
know,
it even better.
Everybody was oohing and aahing over Cody's match where his arm was hanging off and his titty was all purple. I hated it because I don't want to see an actual wrestler injured wrestling.
But on the opposite side of that coin, when have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's like Zach Gowen wrestling the whole match on only the one leg.
Yeah. Jesus. But, yeah, so I think this all is going to boil down to this. Hector's already said it a couple of times. He said this is his match of the year. He says Ospreay versus Omega was Americanized. So for New Japan, this match is his match of the year. So the question comes down to me and you. Do we agree with Hector?
An unfair answer because you definitely haven't been watching any New Japan other than these two matches of Ospreay's.
Pretty much.
I've watched a little bit more, but I don't have Omega and Ospreay fresh enough in my mind to really say. Like, I'm trying to go back into my brain to remember parts of that match to see. But just
this is 9 months later, right? Yeah.
Hey, we've done this before mm-hmm. with people that have been returning their incomplete report cards. Hector's been the one watching the most of it. I would tend to agree with it. So it's a thumbs up for me.
I would also give Hector's opinion more weight
if
he had been on the fucking show at some point in 2023.
To tell us, hey, you need to watch this. Hey, you should watch this. Hey, you should watch
this. Dude, he's not even on the fucking show.
Yeah.
God damn it, Hector.
I'm in.
You're in? Cool. You know, even in the, 2022, 2021, I've always deferred it to you guys for New Japan.
Yeah.
So, all right, fine. If y'all say it is, you're in, he's in, cool. As long as Scotty doesn't have a problem with it and Arnold doesn't have a problem with it, cool. Now, if
Arnold doesn't watch and Scott doesn't watch either, so if it's just us three, then fine, it's us three.
Okay, cool. Yeah, then we could put that as the New Japan portion.
The new match contender of the for match of the year.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I'm fine with that. He said, Hector says he was knocked out on a head spike move from Ospreay.
It might have been that Os cutter off the ropes because maybe. Naito did land a little bit plankish.
Yeah.
I did notice that.
Scott says this. Man, this Lio Rush versus Saban match on Impact 1000 has been really fun.
It's on my DVR. We're going to come back in a few weeks to preview Wrestle Dream. Okay. And I think NXT No Mercy.
Okay.
Or I definitely have that on my DVR. I'm watching that. They're spreading that out over two episodes. That's how big the episode. And I avoided spoilers. I don't want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But this is probably going to be my clean slate to see if I could fit a little bit of Impact in my diet.
Okay.
Because I had to message. Did we talk about it last time we sat down? Chris Sabin and somebody or other was fire. I forget. Somebody, Hector, y'all are in the, y'all can see that. If y'all can remind me. But there was a match on Impact where I'm like, damn, Impact's all right.
Scott says in regards to the match of the year stuff, he says, I trust y'all.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Hector says, I'm the remote correspondent for New Japan Wrestling for the show. Oh, okay. Remote correspondent.
Your eyes should be a little more squinty.
God damn it.
But, now to bring other people in the room, this might not be the only change we have. Arnold over the weekend said, bruh, Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch, Steel Cage opening Payback is match of the year quality.
Yep.
And I don't normally listen to him because he's weird. But I watched that, and the first thing I thought of was, that might be my match of the year too, over Bianca and Io in Backlash. That might take it. That's the best I've seen Becky Lynch. That's surely the best I've seen Trish Stratus. Her face must have a toilet seat on it because all that shit kept going at it. And fucking the broken nose again. She had the fucking island on her forehead. Oh man, I'm willing to say that fucking Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch might be the new candidate for match of the year representing WWE. Unless you object.
Before I saw what Arnold said, I was also watching Payback and I was watching it live, and I had the feeling. Fuck, that match was so good. That, you know what? That's match of the year quality right there.
Yeah, I
felt that way. Arnold felt that way. He said it in the chat before I did. I agreed with him. You agree with him.
Yeah, that might be it. I think the kicker is that as much as I like Bianca and Io and Backlash, it was the beginning of a storyline that I don't think we ever got an end to.
Okay.
This was the culmination of like months of Becky Lynch having to deal with fucking Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus, having to take one now to get a chance at the other. And once she got it, I would say the only nit I have to pick about that match was she picked the stipulation of the steel cage for it to be one-on-one, and it ended up being fucking two-on-one anyway, which I didn't like. The reverse of that is there's one thing that I abhor. Okay. About cage matches. It's the obligatory, I'm going to die off the top of the cage spot.
Yeah.
The women did it differently where Becky was on the top rope and Trish was hanging on the top of the cage because she was trying to escape. And it was a super perplex because Trish was already that high.
That was a counter to stop the person from escaping. Yeah, it was, hey, let's go up here and have our high spot.
Yeah.
Right.
It was unique. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I liked it too. I did notice that part and I figured, oh yeah, that's some good psychology on there. Yeah.
There's a lot of that for a cage match.
Yeah.
And not to sound demeaning. For a women's cage match, there was a lot of good stuff in there psychology wise.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
I did too. And you mentioned this and I'm going to agree with you wholeheartedly. You said that you think this might be the best Trish Stratus match you've seen. This is the best Trish Stratus match I've ever seen.
Since Trish Lita main eventing Raw.
This is the best Trish Stratus match I've ever seen.
Period. It's awesome. We saw her go from a model in 2001 to revolutionizing the women's division and then coming back and having her renaissance.
Yeah.
Her flowers moment.
That was.
If she never, and this isn't an indictment towards her. If she never wrestles again, she is definitely leaving on a fucking high.
Oh, yeah.
That was damn good.
Yeah.
And again, that made me wonder, how is Becky Lynch going from that to Tiffany Stratton on NXT television for free? That's the other part of the disconnect why I didn't understand the Becky stuff. Because I'm holding this on high regard, this cage match from Payback.
And you know what? Thank you, Trish.
Yeah, there you go. It took 20 years. Never too late.
I mean, you know, Trish versus Lita and Trish versus, Victoria and the different Trish matches back there. Was she the best from that era?
Yeah, possibly. Dude, when Trish hit that widow's peak.
Oh, that was beautiful, man.
Becky hit the twist of fate.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. Beautiful. Smart. Nice callbacks. I loved it. Yes. But what I was going to say is that while back then they were good, they weren't the caliber of what the women's wrestling that we see now. And I was afraid of I would get...
Trish being left behind, kind of.
Trish being Michael Jordan on the Wizards.
Ronda Rousey before she got knocked the fuck out in UFC.
Or CM Punk in AEW. Like, I thought that's what I was going to get with Trish Stratus right now.
It's 2023. Or Aaron Rodgers in the Jets.
Oh!
God. Down goes Roger.
Damn. God. Fucking damn.
Who done it?
So
is it official? Farao. Yeah. So we're changing up the list tonight.
Yeah, we are changing the list tonight. All right, Scott says New Japan just came on after Impact, and it's the match episode y'all talked about, so I'll check it out.
No shit.
They're showing right now. All right. Osprey versus Naito, semifinals of the G1 Climax for realsies. Okay. All right, watch it. See what you think. I wonder if it'll have commercial interruptions.
It has to, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's AXS, I think.
AXS, yeah. Or no, I think they call it Access. Yeah.
So, we went 2 for 2. Mm-hmm. Tienes los cojones, güey.
Maybe.
You want to go 3 for 3?
¿Por qué?
Danielson and Starks, that strap match on All Out.
I haven't... Oh, wait. On All Out. Yes.
Strap match. Danielson and Starks. Mm-hmm. Woo!
Yeah.
Danielson slapped Starks in the fucking face in the mouth at one point.
He did.
When he was in a tree of woe and hit him. Dude, that...
He hit him in the face with
there
the strap.
There was some good storytelling, some good shit in that match. Starks could hang. I think, if anything... No slight to the exiting administration. I think this match with Danielson is what put Starks on the map. Okay. Cemented it if it wasn't anything he hadn't already done with Punk.
Yeah.
This match was like, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that idea later on in the show, but Starks and Danielson.
I'm not than JF
Cole? I don't know. Some people on the internet thought Omega and Takeshita was also just as good. I don't know if you got a chance to see. There were a couple of matches that I made the effort to see because I wanted to see them. I couldn't sit through another 4 hours.
Yeah.
So and I just came back from LA. I already knew what everything happened, so I just wanted to watch it to see if everything was working.
I do want to bring up Joe versus Shane Taylor.
That's the one match I didn't watch.
You didn't watch it?
No, I was too caught up on the spoof on the backstage incident where he pumped Joe, pushed MJF, and it just went Joe front face bump. Okay, we're getting more of this. And then, of course, on Dynamite Collision, we're getting more of this.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
and
man.
This Wednesday. Yeah, we're getting more.
Shane Taylor, I'm very happy for him. He had a pretty damn good showing.
Not disappointed that Joe choked him out?
Not disappointed. It was a good enough match where it's cool. And I mean, let's all be honest. I wasn't expecting Shane Taylor to win this. Because
remind the people he exists.
You gotta give him some more star time.
Pretty Boy Killers.
Yeah,
it's there.
It's right there. It's right there. You're not doing anything with Keith Lee.
Yeah,
you could put Keith Lee and Shane Taylor back together, be Pretty Boy Killers. I'm telling you, you need to do
Maybe
it.
Maybe fight each other first just to get out of the system.
Yeah, but it was good.
If they kill MJF and Cole for those ROH tag titles,
yeah,
bro,
but. While that was a good match and it was a good showing for Shane Taylor, and I have a special spot in my heart for Shane Taylor because of him wrestling here in Houston for a long time, right?
NWA Houston.
NWA Houston, Lone Star Championship Wrestling, all that stuff. A match that I think was better on the card. A match that made me giggle, and I thought, wow, this is significant. Hobbs versus Miro.
I knew you were going to say that shit.
Hobbs versus Miro. The crowd hijacked it with the meat stuff, but but the meat stuff was entertaining, and them two played up to it.
That once they played off it, I let it go because Miro was wanting them to.
Yeah,
and then Hobbs was kind of like they're buying into it.
They were validating it.
You know, it's dangerous because in pro wrestling, in the ring, you're supposed to tell the crowd how to react. Right. The crowd's reaction is not supposed to control your match.
But it worked.
It rarely happens, but it worked.
And it was
big meaty men slapping me.
As Simon would say, it was goofy wrestling for the win, right? And yeah, it was goofy, but it was also accurate because it was big meaty men slapping me.
Beating the fuck out of
it was
other.
Stiff.
Yeah,
it was rough and tumble. It was competitive, but it was also kind of goofy and funny.
Yeah.
So it kind of had it all.
And we're getting more. We're getting seconds.
And I think it elevated both guys. Yeah. Miro, where's he been? You know? Hobbs, yeah, okay. Yeah, let's get started with it. Let's get started. You stuck him with QT? Fuck. All right.
You know what? That's the same thought I had when CJ Perry returned or CJ Parker debuted. CJ Perry? Is it Perry? CJ Perry?
I don't know. I don't,
Miro's wife?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need this. I don't need this. This didn't need... And then when Miro left her, you know what? I think we... Again,
that was the best thing they could do.
30-second
He turned
promo.
His back on his god. He turned his back on his hot wife. Brilliant.
And giving the devil S her due. Mm-hmm. CJ's promo on Dynamite made sense.
Okay. Yep.
I'm giving her a couple of weeks to see how they progress Miro versus everyone until Miro gets gold. Then Miro accepts everyone because that's the whole thing of.
And it'll be Happy Miro Day.
Anything from All Out that you think is competitive with MJF Cole from All In on and AEW's Match of the Year candidacy?
Match of the Year? No.
Okay. Is there anybody now, in the chat that disagrees?
One other match that I thought was really, really, really good. Orange and Mox.
Mox didn't bleed?
I almost begrudgingly say this because I don't want to give flowers to Mox. I'm annoyed with Mox and what he's become in the last, I don't know, 6 to 9 months. I really don't like it. But fuck, man, he had a good-ass match with Orange Cassidy.
That's all right. Okay. My expectations were low because I was already tired of Cassidy winning with so many kickouts. Mm-hmm. I was already tired of Moxley bleeding after 3 minutes, which he did on Wednesday with Big Bill. It being at the end of the card, I was expecting it to be a lot more hardcore than it turned out to be.
Hector says you have to give Orange his flowers.
I'm giving him his juice.
I agree. But, I agree. We need to go give Orange flowers for this match.
I guess the after stuff is what's really winning me over. Orange leaving after the promo because he doesn't have a catchphrase and watching Moxley and them come out. The promo last night where he was talking to Hook, he was like, yeah, I used to be a champion. And Hook was like, you're a great champion. And Orange was like, hey, thanks, man. You do a half-assed little fist. Mm-hmm. Like, the character development, you might not like his genre of wrestling, comedy stuff.
Yeah.
His commitment to it, his building on it. Mm-hmm. I can see why people like him the way they do it. I'm giving flowers for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still not like I'm spending $65 on ringside and bringing my own Simply Orange to toast with him. I'm not there yet. But
actually, you know what? That's a good fucking idea. I'll probably do that.
But you know what? I haven't changed the channel when he's on the telly. And because of that, I didn't change the channel when Moxley was on the telly with him. Yeah. And I gave it a shot, and I saw some good stuff in there. Mm-hmm. It was good. Mm-hmm. Is it better than Omega Takeshita?
No.
Is it better than Danielson Starks?
No.
Was it better than the Eight Man? Maybe. But my highlights were in order. Strap match, Takeshita, meat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We got Grand Slam coming up next week.
Okay.
Darby Allin and Sting against Christian and Luchasaurus. Give me a number.
8.
I'm hesitantly giving it an 8, and most of this is Christian's, like, sliding into the DMs of the mom. Him being classic asshole. Nigel on commentary going, the TNT champion Christian. You mean TNT champion Luchasaurus? Yeah, TNT champion Luchasaurus and Christian.
Did you see that somebody actually went and found his mom on Instagram? Wayne... Yeah, found his mom and was like, damn, Christian was right. Did you see that?
She was on ringside for one of it, I think for his debut. And yeah, which, I saw it.
Yeah.
Giggity.
Yeah. Like, okay, cool.
Till death do you part, right? So you free now. So let's go.
God damn. Hector says, Orange doesn't need a title right now. Orange Story should be chasing for the TNT title or the world title in the next 6 months. All right. Cool. I can roll with that.
Could I swerve when I drive? The scissoring got overshadowed by this.
Hey, that got that man a contract. Homie is paid. What's Prince Nana got some money, honey.
What's the better dance?
this or
honestly, because I could do this one better. I'm going to go with this one. I'm going with the Nana.
The Nana. That's what we're calling it now. As in, nah, nah.
Fucking Nana.
I'm gonna swerve. I would have.
I see what you did there.
Going with the storyline, I would have Orange beat Claudio for the ROH title.
All right. You know what? Somebody needs to beat Joe for the TV title so that Joe can go on and get one of the main event roster. AEW
roster
titles. Right. Yeah. One of the AEW roster titles. You know?
Again.
Like, yeah. You know what? I should have brought this up when we were still talking about Punk and all that. If Punk said, I quit, and if we all saw the writing on the wall after him accosting TK, why would TK have not called an audible and said, hey, you know what? Joe, you're going over. And have Take Joe win that real world championship. Mm-hmm. Why not? Why let Punk retain that fake-ass title knowing that he just said he quit? He wants to go away, and you're probably knowing that you're going to fire him. You just got to get it through legal first.
The most interesting storyline on Collision, and it's buried with Punk's career in AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I doubt they're going to do a tournament to crown the secondary champion.
The second fake champ that was only a
champion. That you never beat the actual champ or holder for.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense. Yeah. So the only way it would have made sense is to have Joe get it. Yeah. And Joe could be like, look, I have the X Division. I mean, the Real World Championship title now. And then give Joe the big fucking push. Like, I get it. Punk goes away. You give it all to Brian. But dude, give it to fucking Joe.
This could be the unification match. Joe versus MJF. We're getting there. Joe versus MJF later on in this thing. I've got, of course, I'm going to swerve. I've got Christian and Luchasaurus winning.
All right. I could get down with that.
Jericho versus Sammy Guevara. What are you thinking?
Okay. Since I haven't watched the product in the last week and a half, this kind of came out of nowhere for me right now that you just said it.
Ish.
Yeah.
There's been tension ever since Jericho was teasing going with Don Callis and then leaving.
They left.
Yeah, but then Sammy's still your friend if you want.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, the sex god's going to go for the tag champ goal. It's like, yeah, but I still need to prove myself. I need to make sure that I'm worthy of being in the league. I'm in your level. I need to prove myself.
You know what? I'm going to just throw it out there and say a six.
Six as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got
Sammy.
I was going to say El Ocho. Because it's almost to the point of when in doubt, LOL, Jericho wins.
Jericho. Eddie Kingston, boy. Mm-hmm. Against Claudio Castagnoli. Title for title. Ring of Honor World Championship, New Japan Strong Television Championship are both up for grabs in this match. This rivalry has been brewing for months on AEW television and on ROH TV. Is now the time to give Kingston the Ring of Honor World title, or LOL, Blackpool Combat Club continues to win?
LOL, Blackpool Combat Club continues to win. My anticipation level is a 4. And all 4 of those is for Claudio.
I hate to be that guy. I'm probably going to piss Hector off when I say this.
Okay.
I'm at a 4 also because...
Really?
Because they're for two titles that have no relevance on AEW programming.
Okay.
So.
That's fair. Hector in the live chat says this, Mox has basically become straight edge as well.
By force, yeah.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, he left for rehab and Punk was the first guy to like wish him well. And all of a sudden.
That's his justification for saying to give the real world championship to Mox.
Oh, fuck no.
Because, hey, he's straight edge. Also, he has this question. Who should the four pillars be replaced? If so, then by whom?
That's ending our show today.
Oh, okay, so cool.
We'll get there. Leave that alone. Yeah, we'll get there.
All right. This was in our chat with him and
yeah, because I had mentioned a couple of comments. I'm going to save it.
For the show.
Transition: Moxley versus Phoenix for the Intercontinental title, International title,
International title,
yeah, International title. Talk to the humanoids. I'm gonna grab another one.
Man, I'm going to go with a 6. I really, really like Phoenix. I'm not very enamored with Moxley. So, it's a 6. I'm sure the match will be pretty decent. But, LOL, Moxley's going to win. Like, yeah. He's not going to lose his first title defense after all of the work that Orange put into making that title relevant.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You had basically a mid-carder elevate his status to almost be main event.
Gatekeeper
to main event to hand off the title to a bona fide main eventer.
Franchise player.
He's like, lose? No, that's
their storyline here. This was the Moxie and Phoenix had a match before All In, which was the storyline way to write off Phoenix because he had passport issues. He couldn't go to London. So there's a reason why this match is happening. And I get it. LOL, Moxie's winning.
Yeah.
I'm at a 4.
Okay.
You know what? No, I take that back. I'm at a 6 because when this match happened, up until the story, the kayfabe stuff of writing him out, I thought they worked well in the ring together. So I do want to watch this.
Okay.
I just hate the fact that the timing right now, Moxley ain't dropping that belt. Surprise me, Moxley ain't dropping
that belt. Moxley ain't dropping the belt, and I don't think there's a whole lot of story there for that. I mean, we had this discussion, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Who is actually the next luchador to be, like, the best luchador ever? And me and Arnold were both in agreement. It's going to be Rey Fénix.
Yeah. Yeah. Saraya versus Toni Storm for the women's world title.
7. I really like Toni Storm's little character change that she's had. it is pretty hilarious.
You're using the wrong L word, bro.
Oh, yeah?
I love it.
That's what I said, love.
No, you said you like.
Oh,
you
did just, I?
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, because that's your problem, your posture. You got to fix it. Chin up, tits out. Watch out for the shoe. Where the fuck is my shoe? Oh, never mind. I'm loving it, bro. I'm at a 9. The only thing that's keeping me from busting that nut is I haven't seen Saraya wrestle much on AEW television in the last 6 months for her to even warrant carrying the belt, let alone her having this match.
Right.
So and I have no fucks to give for Saraya. And apparently all the videos I've seen online, she has a lot of fucks to give to other people and belts. On top of belts.
And you know she's going to retain.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I think she's retaining.
Oh, swerve me. I got Toni Storm winning. Let's blow up the Outcast. Fuck them.
Okay.
Chin up, tits out. All of them. Yeah, I seen that. Take it like a woman. Voluptuously. Loving it, dude. I was worried that Toni Storm doing the same Toni Storm shit she did in WWE was going to make her stale to me.
Yeah.
Just like nothing. Ruby Soho, as unique as her character is, she didn't do anything to refine or change it enough to make it different in AEW. What is a Saraya in AEW compared to Paige in WWE?
Same thing.
Toni Storm came in the same way. Yeah. This character? Fuck me, dude. Give it to her. Revolve the whole thing around her. Even if it means 3 months, 4 months worth of dissension within the Outcast, as long as Toni Storm is doing what she's doing, I'll give it a shot. I'll run with it.
All right.
Yeah. I've got Toni Storm winning. Men's AEW World title. MJF versus Samoa Joe.
I'm trying to decide if I want to go with a 9 or a 10. So I'm going to split the difference and say 9.5. What's keeping me? I don't know. I don't know what's keeping me. Maybe it's that the storyline that I may have been a little bit more intrigued by was with Roddy.
They're doing a couple of things at once, which for the smart wrestling fan is cool because you don't know what they're going to do. But at the same time, if you're doing one so well, why shoehorn something in the middle of it? And this is me as the Samoa Joe guy.
Yeah, you're a Jomo-sexual. Yeah,
Jomo-sexual back here, you know? And even I'm like, and it's a two-parter. Number one, timing. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're trying to put too much weight on the 15-second backstage video of NXT where Joe pushed MJF out of the way when MJF was... They're putting too much stock in that and not letting the storyline progress naturally.
Yeah.
They kind of rushed it by throwing Joe into this tournament. And then the other
thing, dude, if Joe had dropped that TV title and won the Real World Championship off of Punk, like you said, man, this could be for the unification to get rid of the whole fucking X title on that. And then, yeah, it would have been.
Which leads to my other part with timing. I feel like there's a point in the calendar, especially now that they're adding All Out. I mean, that they're adding All In next year. There's a huge bottleneck. Arthur Ashe's first Dynamite was special because it was first time ever 20,000 seats were sold in 20 minutes.
Right.
This is the third year, and I think from WrestleNomics, they've only sold like 6,000 seats, and they've already scaled the layout down from 22,000 to 12,000.
Hmm.
If they would have saved this as like, we'll do full gear every year, as we'll treat Arthur Ashe as a pay-per-view event. Where we're building up to it, so you have months for storylines to breathe, and the payoff is here, live, in the Arthur Ashe in front of 24,000 people. You could have had the title unification of Samoa Joe as Real World's champ and MJF, the devil with the gold.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have had time for that to breathe and cook evenly instead of showing up raw on the table without time to rest. Right. That's what this feels like. I want to be more invested in this. And some stuff on paper, you don't need anything more than just the meal itself.
Yeah.
But this particular meal, I wish they made more time to give me everything, the sides, all the everything. And I feel like that's what that's missing.
And see, the thing with that, comparing the Adam Cole and Roddy storyline running parallel to the MJF and Joe storyline, Roddy and Cole is an organic storyline that is built over a while.
And whereas, there's stock that you should invest in.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about Roddy. I've always said Roddy is kind of boring. I don't really like him. But the story here is just better. I fucking love Joe. Not as much as you. But I love Joe. If you told me, hey, who do you like better between Samoa Joe and Roddy? Roddy, for me, is down here. And Joe is kind of up here.
Oddly enough, right? Samoa Joe has not changed in 20 years. And we take him as it comes. And we always want more.
Yeah.
Roddy's the more developed one. And now, all of a sudden, we're like, I kind of want Roddy to get the shine.
Because it's about the story.
Yeah.
What we're talking about, the characters, is like this. But right now, the story is kind of like this. While,
a little bit more.
While I appreciate the callback to the push, and then they redid the push, and MJF is pissed at them, and all
Joe
this
main
that.
Eventing is always good for business.
Yeah, cool.
Well, good, but...
But there's more to it than just Joe and MJF, and I kind of feel like Joe and MJF is the placeholder to keep those two busy in a match while we could further develop the story between Cole and Roddy, when really, that is really a story between Cole, Roddy, and MJF. So it's a little wonky, but I'm still at a 9.5. This match is going to be fucking bonkers. If we thought the match at All Out, or All In, Cole and MJF, if we thought that match was fucking bonkers and it elevated MJF, this is going to be the same thing.
What if Roddy and the Kingdom cost MJF the title?
Cool. I'll be okay with that.
The story with them five.
I'll be okay with that because I'll be swerved.
And we get Joe in the main event heavyweight champion.
I have MJF winning this. Okay?
I wouldn't be mad either way.
But what I want is for MJF to have another match under his belt, back-to-back, with ROH legends, where he's not only hanging,
he's winning.
He's winning and elevating and going past them. Mm-hmm. Fuck, that'd be beautiful. Beautiful!
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's another match where I'm thinking, booking-wise, they book MJF and...
Joe has his burning balls in the back of Chris's head. The poster right there.
They're shaved.
They are shaved.
I would book them as equals to the point where Joe is... MJF tries to do the sunset flip. Joe reverses it and does the coquina clutch. MJF rolls back, pinning Joe's shoulders at 1, 2, 3.
Cool.
You don't have to beat him with the heat seeker. You don't have to beat him with your finish, the salt of the earth. You didn't beat Joe.
Him with the kangaroo
You survive
kick.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe is a guy you survive. especially if you got the fuckwits and Roddy and the Kingdom on your ass and Cole's getting outnumbered and you have all that shit around you. You have to, like, fight by the skin of your teeth.
The fuckwits and the Kingdom.
Yeah. So, yeah, you built me up to a 9. Okay. I'm ready for this.
All right.
I wouldn't be mad either way. I would like Joe to win it. Like, yeah. Just like I laid, or MJF win it like I laid it out.
But I'm
kind of disappointed that this isn't getting the crowd turnout that it has so far, because this is the card.
Yeah,
that's a fucking pay-per-view card.
I'm willing to say this right now. And correct me if I've already said this before or not, but I'm willing to say it right now. Currently, out of current active wrestlers in WWE, AEW, New Japan, everything, currently MJF is my favorite wrestler.
That's ballsy.
He's my favorite wrestler right now out of current. Now, he's not all-time favorite right obviously. Now. Right? But I've had to seriously attempt to reevaluate who my favorite of all time is recently.
And Punk's out of the picture now.
Punk's out of the picture. Because at one point it was Punk.
Traitor.
But he wasn't able to overthrow Brett as my favorite of all time. Right? Well,
Goldberg could with one kick.
Still got it. Damn. But right now, I mean, man,
he's no Aaron Rodgers, but
he's no Aaron Rodgers. I mean, right now, man, fucking MJF is just really climbing that ladder for me.
Yeah.
I fucking love this kid.
He surpassed Roman Reigns as the guy that I need to watch every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that
Steiner math promo?
Renee's selling it.
Yeah. No, Cole's selling it.
Cole's like, yeah. Renee's like, yeah. I don't know if it already happened or what it's going to take for MJF to be that legend star. Steve Austin, Rock, yeah. Undertaker, Triple H, Mankind. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's already happened and I was blind to it, or if we're about to see it. Because I feel like he's almost there if he's not already there.
Yeah.
But yeah, MJF's my guy right now. Yeah. I could easily say, MJF's on Dynamite. Yeah, we're going. I got us tickets pre-sale to make sure that we're there.
Yeah.
I could easily say MJF is a reason why I'm going to Dynamite, even though Punk's not there.
Yeah.
Before this happened, I bought the tickets. Because it's MJF, yeah. Overall, that's fucking Grand Slam. Solid 8 for me, top to bottom.
Yeah. So Grand Slam is
Dynamite and Rampage
together over 1 week.
Yeah, okay. But this time I think Rampage is just an hour because they didn't book a lot of matches.
Okay.
And then Collision is someplace somewhere else.
So this wasn't even Wrestle Dream.
No, Wrestle Dream's in 2 weeks.
Okay,
we got 2 matches for Wrestle Dream so far. Danielson against Zack Sabre, and last night we got the confirmation Swerve Strickland against Hangman. Kind of interested in that.
Hector says, do you think the Punk situation will be a longer lasting effect in AEW? I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. If anything, I think this might be good for AEW. That way you could let some of your homebrews shine, like MJF is shining right now. Clear out some roster spots. I mean, I know it's just one guy, but clear out a roster spot for Danielson to really solidify his legendary status.
And once he's gone, he can be solidify him as a good booker and a good...
And then he could pass along the torch to somebody like a Garcia. Or Guevara.
Thank you. You just led us to that question. We're wrapping up the show with a couple things. Mm-hmm. Let's reassess the 4 pillars of AEW.
Okay.
From the beginning, it was Darby, Sammy, MJF, Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
Pillars. Are we still safe with 4? Or do you want to do 6? Or do you want to do 8? Because...
Jesus Christ. Let's go with 6.
Okay, let's go 6.
Okay.
I mentioned this off air a couple of days ago. I'm replacing Jungle Boy with Orange Cassidy. And I am replacing Sammy Guevara with Ricky Starks. That's four for me. I have one more at least.
Throw it out there.
Chris Statlander. It's funny because I didn't really have this perception until I remembered, oddly enough, because I was in the stages of grief. One of Punk's promos where he is like, bro, you don't even realize you've been replaced by Britt Baker.
Yeah.
It got a massive pop. I'm like, man, we're not giving the women their due.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if Britt's on the level of Sammy Guevara in the sense where I think she might have peaked for now.
Yeah.
You know, if you're asking me this question last year, it was Britt. If you're asking me this question now, I'd say it's Chris Statlander and, damn, for fucking injury, Jamie Hayter. If Jamie was still wrestling right now, I'd say Jamie would be the sixth.
Honestly, if Jamie Hayter was still wrestling right now, Britt would be more relevant.
That too.
Yeah. If
Jade wasn't leaving, I'd put Jade as my sixth.
Yeah.
Because she gets ratings, dude. Jade, I like her.
Jade is not your sixth because she's leaving.
Yeah.
And Statlander is not the sixth.
She's my fifth.
She's not even on the list for me.
No?
Statlander is not.
Okay, so no. let me pose you this.
I'll tell you who it is.
Do you have women
on yes. your
list? Okay, good.
Give Britt. Me.
Still?
Still.
Still.
Still. Nobody has come close to surpassing Britt's popularity and overness in AEW in the women's division, with one exception, and that's a maybe. Hikaru Shida. Maybe.
Man. There's one thing of giving her flowers, but I'm not sure if I can give. Maybe she's been a pillar and we haven't noticed. She's been consistent.
That's where I was going with. She's been consistent as she's O-reliable. O-reliable. What is a pillar? Reliable. Right? So you could say maybe that. Now, I get it. You might
have convinced me.
In the last 6 months or so, Britt hasn't been there. But like that might be because of Hayter, and that was the story that they were going, and now they're trying to scrabble to get her something, but they don't know what to do. And da, da, da.
It's weird. But
I think that if we're going from the history of AEW, Britt is the most relevant woman.
I could see her there easily the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Most of my pillars, I don't see them leaving. So MJF is talking a big game. If he wants to really solidify his career, instead of getting lost in the shuffle on WWE's system, he can make himself the Goldberg, the DDP, the Sting of the competition by staying in AEW.
Yeah.
Orange, I don't think they know what to do with Orange Cassidy in WWE or another promotion.
No.
He's staying there.
He's staying there.
Ricky Starks, I think if enough of the legends teach him up and he earns a lot of their trust, I don't see Starks going anywhere either. And Darby, I don't think WWE will do anything with Darby, meaning as meaningful as what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he's going to last 5 more years the way he's going. I'm in my head, I'm trying to rule Statlander out as much as I've liked her consistently and her evolution of her character from the Andromeda Galaxy to what she's doing now. But her fucking injuries has taken up a lot of time that could have been converted into some equity.
I agree.
In her being the pillar. So I can see myself
reluctantly
crossing Statlander out as a pillar for now.
Look past the injury and just look at what she's done since she's been back and won the TBS title off of Jade. What has she done?
Yeah, but that's been most of the women's division, period.
Bup kiss.
Most of the women's division is the same way.
Except for
Britt.
And maybe Hikaru. And maybe, yeah. Because when the fucking floor falls out underneath them, who's all reliable?
Yeah.
Hikaru. All right. Now
Britt's always been in these four women eliminations, pay per view matches. Mm-hmm. She's still there, relevant, consistent. Also,
yeah.
Well, not consistent, but she's dipping a bit.
Yeah. But. See, if we're talking about pillars, and this is the house of AEW, I think Statlander is not a pillar, but she might be a nice sighting. You know, like something that gave it curb appeal that was kind of nice, but it's not integral to the structure of the building, right?
Ooh. I might not agree with that.
Okay.
But I do see that she... I do agree. I don't think she's a pillar yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, if we're sticking with six...
All right.
My six would be...
Your six are?
Darby.
Darby.
MJF.
Uh-huh.
Orange.
Uh-huh.
Starks.
Uh-huh.
You got me. Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida. Those are my six.
Those are your six.
Those are my six.
Britt and Hikaru.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So as much as I just argued for Hikaru...
You're cutting it.
Notice how I said might have been.
Yeah.
Right?
So who are your six?
My six is I'm going with Britt. Starks. This is where it gets tough. MJF. Well, okay. No, MJF isn't tough. Okay, so definitely MJF. Darby, Sammy.
You're keeping Sammy.
I'm keeping Sammy. Sammy's consistently been around. And he's been important. And he's going up against Jericho right now. He's had title runs. He's had tag runs. He's been prominent in the fucking JAS. He's
as a bridesmaid, not the bride. I'd say for Sammy.
I mean, you could say the same for Darby.
Oh no!
Yeah.
No. Oh no!
What is Darby won? That's been important.
Darby is a more memorable character. You don't see kids going to the AEW shows dressing like Sammy with a panda head. You see kids and adults going to the show dressed with half of their face dead.
Okay.
Okay. Again, you want to cash in on Darby while he's still alive, because at this point, the way he's going, man.
Because he's going to not be alive soon.
He will be unalive quite soon.
Yeah.
And not that I wish that, but god damn his fucking style, dude.
And I'll tell you who I want it to be. But I don't think it is.
I wish it was Jade. Fuck, I hope she's not leaving.
Hobbs.
Ooh!
You
like meat.
I want it to be Hobbs in number six. I want it to be Hobbs. But I don't think it is. Not yet, anyway. If you really push your balls up Hobbs' ass and you really give him a fucking push... And this match that he just had, the meet with Miro and all that, and it's starting to take off, then okay.
God damn it, Hector.
Maybe.
Fuck. Here's Hector's. Starks, MJF, Sammy, Wheeler, Yuta, Orange Cassidy, Britt Baker.
Yuta is not a pillar. He could have been a pillar.
I will see your Hobbs and I will raise you. Hook.
What the fuck has he done? He got over, and then they didn't do anything with him.
He's still over,
but they're not doing anything with him.
Hobbs has been off of television more than once. That's the only argument I can make. I like Hobbs, and my six pillars need some meat.
Neither one of those guys can make it on there because neither one of them have had the longevity and or the consistency. They've both gotten over... At times, they've had flashes, so I can't say him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I gotta go Orange.
Too soon to throw Takeshita on there?
Too soon.
Okay.
Too soon.
That's fair.
Especially for somebody that can't talk for himself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No regrets?
What do you mean?
I'm not sure if you noticed this.
What are you talking about?
All in. Did you read the reports in the last couple of days?
Oh, that supposedly it was like 75,000 people there?
Yeah.
Instead of like 81?
Yeah.
Okay, is this true?
Here's the humorous part.
Okay.
No regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Did you remember that?
The Snickers commercial. Yeah.
Osprey got a new tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Of All In with the attendance on it.
Oh no, he did? Oh shit. Seriously?
It's not oh shit, it's Osprey, so it's funny, isn't it?
Bruv.
That's one you should have waited on, man.
Yeah.
Now, is it true?
Tickets sold, not bodies through the turnstile. That was the difference.
So tickets sold was 81,000, but the turnstile was only the 75? Yeah. You're telling me 5,000 people didn't show up?
Scalpers, maybe.
Secondary market sales?
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow. Comps that didn't show up? Well, the comps wouldn't be counted as tickets sold. Those are, that's a separate
category. Right, right.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Can't do math? Grab a Snickers.
Steiner math.
Or Starburst.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, they don't sponsor us, but goddamn, we've dropped them a dozen times.
I know, right?
Yeah, we can buy some stock. I'm going to Robinhood and give me some Starburst stock.
Fuck,
some
man.
Some Mars stock.
I wonder if that's really true, man. If it is, damn, that sucks. Yeah. Now, does that drop them below whatever the actual record was?
Yeah.
It does?
WWE inflates, even though they inflate their numbers all the time, I think tickets that sold actually might have been... But then again, that goes back to... It's... How many tickets were sold, and whatever their inflation WWE tends to do, because WWE likes to count the workers, the concession stands, the security,
right.
Everybody there.
Right.
But do they have the numbers of the people that actually walked through the turnstile, had ticket scan? That number exist?
And I wonder how many people...
67,925 at WrestleMania. How much of that is real, and how much of that is inflation?
I wonder how much of that also is... Somebody didn't scan the thing right. You know, hey, I got me and my family of four with me.
Come on, bro.
And they beep, beep. And, like, they didn't get all four of them, but they just let them walk on through, right? I wonder how many... Oh, man, my clicker stopped clicking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt 5,000 times that happened. But still, there's got to be some sort of explanation.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's always a train strike. Apparently, there was a train strike happening. What are y'all talking about in the live chat? Hector and Scott are talking about a train strike. What? The fuck are y'all talking about?
So those are our pillars. We'll see how long they last.
Okay. Yeah.
You got anything coming up in the future?
Nope.
No.
No. UPW on the 16th was canceled.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened? Are you at liberty to disclose?
No. Partially because I also don't know the whole story. I know part of the story, I think.
Will you share it with me off the record?
Sure.
All right. Let's hurry the fuck up then.
He says, in the UK, Scott said, in the UK, can't get to a show if there's no trains. Okay, so there was a train strike the day of the show, so people couldn't make it? You're telling me 5,000 people couldn't make it to the show because of the trains?
That's a lot of pissed people.
You think we would have heard about this before?
Yeah.
And that you would have heard about it from, oi, bruv, I wasn't able to make it to the show. The fucking trains, I couldn't get to the show, and now I missed the whole damn thing, bruv. Instead of... Well,
that's fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah. Instead of, well, according to the numbers of the turnstile tickets, there's 5,000 people that didn't show up. Like, oh.
Those numbers are fucked, bro. That's Manchester United, muff. Yeah.
Like.
Oh, I fucked up in the language, so I started calling my girlfriend Grov with a G. Hey, Grov.
Hey, Grov. Yeah. I'm sure she loved that.
Yeah, for like the first 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, God damn it, speak English, boy.
Yeah. Speak of the English.
Boy! Yeah. So we will be back soon to talk Wrestle Dream and okay. NXT No Mercy.
All right.
Yeah, and if something happens along the way, we'll complain on Twitter.
Not necessarily 5,000, but people using the train from Scotland, would it make it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hell's bells.
Hell's bells.
That just means they have a year to try to get to the stadium next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a fucking Uber.
The double deckers, you can't just tell them where to go.
Oh, they, yeah.
They got routes.
Okay.
Yeah. And with that,
adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Oh, yeah.
Bruv.
Good shit, bruv.